Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Doug Tribou. In the trial of Jahar Tsarnaev, which will decide if he spends the rest of his life in jail or gets the death penalty, the defense presented its final witness today.
She was Sister Helen Prejean, the Catholic nun and longtime critic of the death penalty. Until her appearance in the courtroom, it was uncertain if Judge George O'Toole would permit her to testify. WBUR senior reporter David Boeri joins us now from the federal courthouse. Hi, David.
Hi, Anthony.
So, David, this sounds like a fairly dramatic way for the defense to wrap up its case. Sister Helen Prejean, of course, author of Dead Man Walking. She's advocated against the death penalty. What did she say today?
She said that she had met with Jahar five times since March, that she met him in detention. She said he was very open and respectful, that I looked at his face, I'm quoting from her testimony, oh my God, he's so young. And here, the important thing, the heart of her testimony, she said he said it emphatically, no one deserves to suffer like they did. His response was so spontaneous, I had every reason to believe he was sincere. Question, what did you observe about his voice? It had pain in it, actually. I had every reason to think he was genuinely sorry for what he did.
Now, David, this is really an interesting detail because, of course, Jahar Tsarnaev has been somewhat implacable throughout this, throughout most of this trial. So I guess this really helps the defense, right?
This is at the heart of mitigation, Anthony. It puts a face on him. And one line from that movie, and from the book, the movie, the play, and even the opera, is that it is hard to destroy. I'm sorry, it is easy to kill a monster, much easier than human beings. That's the heart of mitigation, to put it right on that face, humanity.
Right. Now, there was some question about whether Judge George O'Toole was even going to permit Sister Helen Prejean to testify. What kind of limits were there placed on her, on what she could and couldn't say?
Oh, it was, I mean, there were, Miriam Conrad was operating under the tightest of leashes. The judge had a difficult call here because, of course, she is the prophetic voice against the death penalty in America. She and actually Judy Clark, the attorney. But under the law, under the federal death penalty statute, the evidence of mitigation is open. It is permissive. That, in fact, the judge, it states the judge should be more permissive about the evidence of mitigation, erring, if he does so, on the side of life. So there it is. It err if you do in favor of admission, because most of the cases that are overturned, the death penalty cases, the leading cause is that the judge didn't allow mitigating evidence. So he went forward with this. Only was it announced this morning. The defense called Sister Helen Prejean. That's what we knew that she was on, but it was with severe restrictions.
Yeah. So Sister Helen Prejean says Tsarnaev showed remorse for the bombing. How did the prosecution respond to her on cross-examination?
The best way to put it is politely. I mean, what are they going to do? You want to take on a friendly, modest 76-year-old nun who looks like everyone's aunt in one of the most Catholic cities in America? Prosecution took it right out of the playbook, minimized the damage. He kept it to 2 minutes, 2 minutes of cross-examination, and reserved it, you know, restricted to these questions. You're a leading opponent of the death penalty in the United States. Yes. You never think the death penalty is an appropriate punishment. No. No matter what the crime. No. End it. That was his questioning. They hated the fact that she was there. They did what they needed to do and stopped.
David, this is a so-called death-qualified jury. That is, nobody is opposed on principle to applying the death penalty. But did you get any sense about how the jury responded to Sister Helen Prejean?
Yeah, they liked her. They smiled. She told at one point, because of the restrictions of what she could say and what she couldn't say, she had said, you know, I'm a Catholic nun who teaches, and I keep on thinking what I said. I'm sorry, because she'd got crossed the line. And then she turned, and in this one moment, she turned to the defense attorney and said, can I speak about other prisoners? She got the frown. She said, I didn't think so. Just checking it out. They all laughed. It's the first time I have seen the jury laugh or even smile at a defense witness in this trial. So, yes, she had traction. Now, whether or not any of of those jurors know that Sister Helen Prejean was in another life, in the pretend life in celluloid. She was Susan Sarandon playing an Academy Award-winning role in Dead Man Walking, in a movie. And it was about her life. I don't know. But, you know, maybe one of them does, and that's a hit. But this was a positive day, a positive moment for the defense. Whether that's enough to get them across the line, though, is a far different question.
Sure. David, I gather that besides Sister Prejean's testimony, there was a lot of back and forth about the Supermax prison in Colorado where Tsarnaev could be sent if he's not executed. Tell us about that.
Anthony, it's very, very telling. We are in the 100th anniversary of World War I, and this reminded me of legal trench warfare between two sides, spending inordinate amount of time about Supermax and what it can or cannot do. The defense opened this with its testimony. It's bringing forward a witness who suggested, you know, that if, in fact, the jurors sentence him to life in prison without the chance of parole, he will go into the hole at Supermax, the most secure prison in America. It's sort of like the king's dungeon without the rats, not to be heard from again. The prosecution challenged that aggressively, showing how important they thought that argument might be with the jurors. And they have brought witnesses forward to say, no, there's no guarantee he might be stepped down. He might go under something other than the most strict of regimens that are reserved for terrorists. He might get a book out. He might be able to speak. He might. In the end, there are no guarantees of anything. And of course, the defense would also point out that there's no guarantee that if he is sentenced to death, it'll ever come about. But the fact that they're moving back and forth for a few yards, advancing, retreating on this over the course of 3 days is very telling. It's as if they believe, both sides believe, that the jury is ready to act in a way that will punish Tsarnaev, and they're just wondering how they can punish him more. So the defense is appealing to some who would say, the worst thing we can do, the thing he deserves most, throw him in the hole. Don't give him a break and sentence him to the death penalty.
Mm. So, David, what happens next? When might we expect this case to go to the jury?
Wednesday closing arguments, the instructions to the jurors, and then they start deliberating this case. It is a case like no other I've ever seen. It is definitely sui generis.
All right. WBUR's David Boeri reporting on the trial of Jahar Tsarnaev from federal court in South Boston. David, thank you.
You're welcome, Anthony.